to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 255 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome to our fifth year anniversary party. How's it going? As you can hear in the background, the party's already been going on for a little while. We're hanging out at the River Roost between Yeehaw Bob sets. And you know what? Let me see if I can get some of my friends' attention and we're going to kind of start this show. Hey Jimmy, come on over here. Hey Jimmy, how's it going?
Hey buddy, what's going on?
Doing pretty good. I tell you what, why don't we hang out here? We'll get a couple people and we'll do the show. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Okay, let's get Morgan's attention. Morgan, bring those drinks over here. Hey, Morgan, how's it going?
Hey, guys, how's it going? I got Jimmy's drink here. He made me go to the bar and get him a drink.
That's how it works. I buy, you fly, you know?
I'm going to need to start getting tips for this or something, you know?
That works every time. Okay, well, let me see. I see Sam over there. Hey, Sam, why don't you come on over here real quick?
I'll be right there, man. My Buffalo Trace is on the way. Give me 2 minutes.
Okay. While we're waiting for Sam, what we're doing tonight is celebrating our fifth anniversary of the Disney Nerds Podcast. We've been around 5 whole years, and we're pretty psyched about it.
Wow. Dude, did you say 5 years?
I thought that'd get your attention. Here, awesome. Hey, so have a seat. And you know what?
You're sharing those, right, Sam?
What? Sure.
Excellent. Okay, well, so what we're going to do tonight, and we've been kind of doing this for the last little while, is talking about how long 5 years seems to be, or how short it really has been. I don't know, guys. Doesn't it seem like it's been just like yesterday we started this thing?
It certainly doesn't feel like 5 years.
Not at all. But I tell you what, we keep looking back at different things, and yeah, it seems like it's been a long time, too. One of the things we were talking about earlier was the price to just get into the park for a day. Now, can you imagine that at one time it was under $100? That was only 5 years ago. And at the time, there was only one price all year round. So I thought that was pretty cool.
For all the parks, too, right?
And it made it so much easier. But
sure,
year by year, it kind of increased like $4 a year or $5 a year until we're finally at $102 a day, and that's in the off season when nobody can go anyway. So, you deal with it. You still go.
It feels like that's when there was an off season in, because I don't think there is an off season these days. But back then, which is 5 years ago, was there an off season? I don't remember.
It definitely
either
has.
That or everybody just found out that they can save some money and they, you know, got let in on this little secret, and now they're just everybody's coming whenever.
That's a big part of it. We kind of let the secret out on when I say we, I mean just the, you know, people in the Disney community kind of let the secret out on when the best times to go were. And you got like places like touringplans.com and their crowd calendar, and people go look at that before they plan their trip. So they try, and more people are trying to plan during the slower season, which makes the slower season busier.
Oh, sure. And they make you pay those premiums.
Makes the slower season non-existent.
I see Lisa over there. Let's grab her real quick. I tell you what, I want to know, because I can't remember, what was the first show she was on? Do you guys remember? You know what? Hey, Lisa, tell us about the first time you were on the show.
Hey, guys. I'm so excited to be here, and what an exciting time it is for the Disney Nerds Podcast. For those of you that don't know, I was a fan first. Check this out from episode 69 in 2015.
We had one other letter for this week, and it comes from Lisa from Massachusetts. Hi, my name is Lisa. I'm from Massachusetts.
My nerddom started when I was 8 during my first trip to Disney, but really developed in my early 20s. Now I go once a year, at least, 3 times this past calendar year, lucky girl. I'm really excited that we're going to be down in February for the monorail crawl, which will be a great way to celebrate running my first 5K. Oh, awesome.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Excellent. My fiance and I just went down for a few days in early December, which prompts my question. When is your favorite time to go to the world? I really love the magic of Christmas, but it's very busy, and there is something more magical about having space around you when you move. What makes me a nerd are that the same qualities that make you and the other followers love, knowledge, passion, and mild to major obsessions with all things Disney. From going as often as possible to having each room in your house containing a piece of Disney decor to planning to retire, live, and work down there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. The marketing campaign is brilliant. We all have a Disney side. That is a fact. But only true Disney nerds show their Disney sides everywhere they go. Lisa. Great email, Lisa.
That was a fantastic email.
So it was that fateful meetup that allowed me to meet Sam and meet Jennifer and, of course, meet Jimmy. And friendships just blossomed from there. I began writing blogs for the Disney Nerds podcast and then had the opportunity to join the Disney Nerds podcast live from the top of California Grill. And I believe that was my first episode, was bringing the fireworks to you live from the top of the California Grill. And from there, it's been history, and it's been a fun ride, and I'm really excited to see where we go from here.
Cool, Lisa. That was awesome. I totally remember that. You know what? I got goosebumps just hearing us talk about that whole letter again that you sent us. That was a really cool email. You want to go back over to the bar? Okay. I'll talk to you in a little bit.
Wait a minute. I need another one, Lisa.
Oh, awesome. That's a good opportunity. Lisa, I'll take a martini, please. Dirty? Thank you.
She's only got 2 hands, guys.
There's trays. Come on. It's River Roost.
So I tell you what, it seems like such a long time now, kind of looking back on our first get-together. When we first got together, I tell you what, it was right here at River Roost, I believe, when we first met up.
The first night I met you, Ed, was definitely at River Roost. Me and Sam may have met before that, because you came in later on that trip. But
it was the same trip, yeah.
It was the same trip, yeah. Definitely the same trip, and that had to be in, what, October, September, October? The end of September, beginning of October, maybe, right. For that first meetup weekend. And our first little get-together was at Yeehaw Bob, and it was me and Sam and Jennifer was there, and Ed had a late flight and came. Ed, I think you came straight from the airport straight to...
I did. I came right over there.
I think you went to the hotel first.
That's the only way to do it.
Oh, you got your priorities.
So you know what I remember about that 5 years ago was leaving that event, because there was no Uber 5 years ago. I don't know if you guys remember, but we had to call a cab to get me from River Roost over to Swan and Dolphin, where I was staying. And we had to tell the cab I was going to the airport so they'd show up to take me. And then when he got there, I kind of told him, well, we're not really going to the airport.
Oh, that's
but
right.
No Uber 5 years ago.
Yeah, big difference in the world. I think everybody else jammed into my car and we went back after that night.
Yeah, at the same hotel, I guess.
Yep. Fun time. And I can't wait, because you know what? 5 years later, we're going to be back at the River Roost one more time.
That's kind of crazy. We didn't even plan it for 5 yet, but we're here, dude.
Very cool. And I tell you what, definitely want to hit the River Roost and see Yeehaw Bob again one more time in November. So we'll be there again.
So guys, check this out. My first show was 21, right? So a little bit in when you got started. But after we did the whole Sam's Disney Diary, and this is kind of cool, the show after that, show 22, was all about this new Magic Band thing and some updates about planning. So talk about how planning a trip to Walt Disney World has changed in 5 years.
Well, you know, I think you have to plan a lot more now than you did 5 years ago. Which, with the advent of the Magic Band, which later turned into, you know, the whole My Disney Experience system and Fast Pass Plus and all that, and the way it's evolved, compared to back then with the old paper fast passes. And you definitely have to plan a lot more now. It's really tough to wing it like we used to.
Yeah, it ties back to what you were talking about, the planning up front, using touring plans, and the fact that there's so much more to do and so many more reasons to come. You don't have to wait for the summertime. I mean, Walt Disney World's all year long. I love it.
It is. It is all year long. However, the Magic Bands being 5 years down the road now, if that was when they started in show 22, they were talking about them, to me, they're almost like a pair of handcuffs for your planning. Meaning, I made my fast passes 60 days out, and you know what? If I want to use them, I can't do anything else. I have to go to that park at that time.
You're sitting at the River Roost right now, and you got fast passes booked for tomorrow. You got to be there, or you got to use it. And that's something you decided a long time ago that you were going to do. But that evolves too, because Mine Train opened in 2014, just 4 years ago, right? So before that, there was no Mine Train to book. So if everybody's running the Mine Train, does that mean you can get Space Mountain or Splash or Big Thunder?
Absolutely.
It changes things, and it'll continue to evolve. Wait till the Tron Coaster opens and things like that.
It's so easy now since Toy Story Land opened. I mean, it's almost like, you know, Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror, like the redheaded stepchildren. I mean, they're easy to get. It's nothing to get a fast pass for them now. Where before that opened, before Toy Story opened, they were the ones that were tough to get, and now it's nothing to get them because everybody's skipping over them.
Right. Well, we'll see as it goes along. Well, Lisa's coming back with my drink, so Lisa, you know what?
Wait a minute. Where's mine?
We'll get it next time. But I tell you what,
they were out of trays.
We were talking earlier about nighttime entertainment and how much that's changed too.
Like I said, in the last 5 years, a lot of things have changed. If just from a nighttime show perspective, when you think about Magic Kingdom, you know, we lost a Main Street Electrical Parade. Ooh, we lost Wishes and gained Happily Ever After, depending upon your point of view there. I was devastated about that loss. That was not a net gain for me. And then from a dayside perspective, Celebrate a Dream Come True Parade went away, and that brought us Festival of Fantasy, as you know, with the exciting dragon, which became a little bit more exciting than we wanted it to this past year. But one other thing I wanted to talk about when we talk about losses and gains over at Magic Kingdom, who misses Push? When I went through all these lists of things that we've gained and things that we've lost and changes that have been made over the course of the years, boy, I totally forgot how much I miss Push, the talking trash can. And then we have Hollywood Studios, which, think about all that we have gained over the past 5 years, all the Star Wars things that we have going on there. We gained the nighttime show, Star Wars, A Galactic Spectacular. But then, sadly, they also announced the loss of the Osborne Family Spectacle of Dancing Lights, and that has just been a true loss during the holiday season. But with that loss came a gain, right? Jingle bell, jingle bam. And last year, with the announcement of Sunset Season's Greetings over there on Sunset Boulevard with the projections on the Hollywood Tower of Terror, which is something that we see even with special events. And then there's Animal Kingdom, which has seen such growth over the last 5 years. And I know we've touched base on it, and we'll continue to touch base on the growth that we're going to see in a lot of these parks. But we had the extended hours over at Animal Kingdom, which then brought more life to the nighttime hours. A projection show on the Tree of Life called Tree of Life Awakenings, which is a fabulous show. If you haven't had an opportunity to check that out, please do so. And then, of course, there's Rivers of Light, which is the new nighttime show over at Animal Kingdom. So as you can tell, we've seen a lot of change in the nighttime shows over the course of the last 5 years, and I'm certain we'll see more in the future.
And then, yeah, that is pretty cool. And I do miss Wishes. That is so true.
Possess a gift or two. One of them is this. They have the power to make a wish come true.
Seems like such a it seems like actually a long time since Wishes has been gone, but not really.
Does. That.
I loved Wishes, and I was sad to see it go, and I wasn't that impressed with Happily Ever After, but it seems like the more I see it, the more I enjoy it. I really like Happily Ever After.
I was gonna say the same thing. Is Wishes was not my favorite, you know, nighttime fireworks, you know, but Happily Ever After is definitely growing on me. But I definitely hate that you have to be in the hub or Main Street to get the castle projections.
Correct. To get the whole show, you have no choice but to be somewhere in front of the castle.
Oh, there's right. Little things with every show, just like the new Star Wars show Lisa told us about. It's the same thing where you have to be in kind of the right spot to get the entire view of everything. But
and from a photographer standpoint, I still haven't found that magic spot to get that good shot of Star Wars.
You have to be like, oh yeah, you have to be. Well, I can tell you where it is. It's where they do the dessert party.
The dessert party now, not when I did it, when it was in the back. No, right? The dessert party's right in the front because they moved that stage out of the way. It's a great spot, and I do want to do that. Yeah, it's directly in the front. You need a 360 degree lens to get it to.
So it's
huge.
Nice. It's right in front, right like where the guy, where the statue of the guy with the camera is, right?
Well, that's where it used to be. Now it's right in the raised place, right in front of the Chinese theater. It's like right in the front, the circle that's up in the air. It's amazing.
Oh, I was wondering what they did with that stage during the. Cool.
Because that thing rolls out of there now, right? The Galaxy Far, Far Away, or whatever they call that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
They just started that recently because I saw the people. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. When I did this, I had to stay in way in the back.
Well, but I don't know from a photography point of view, from a photographer's point of view, that's got to be not a great place to be. Because
that's why I said you need a 360 to get the whole thing, and you're really close.
Which, yeah. 5 years
from
ago?
From A, put the camera down and watch it. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's great. To watch it, yeah.
And think about 5 years ago, there was no such thing as affordable 360-degree cameras. You had to have you had to have nine cameras all facing out from the center, like that.
That's right,
definitely.
And a helicopter to fly it around with.
Right. Or let's just face the fact: there was no Star Wars attractions at all at Hollywood Studios 5 years ago.
Yeah, we had Star Tours, but that was the original then.
True.
It still was. It might have just moved over to Last Tour to Endor. What we did have, I believe, was the Hyperspace Hoopla and Star Wars Weekends, which I still miss, but okay, that's right. All right.
And you know what we did get early on? I think it was 2013, 2014, and we're talking about, I think, probably some rides we lost and gained, but The Path of the Jedi, that movie started actually like maybe 5 years ago. So it's been there a little bit longer than I thought.
It has been there a while.
That old Drew Carey Theater. What?
What was there before The Path of Jedi?
It was a place the Lone Ranger was there right before. It was a place they were previewing movies. Just previewing movies.
Well, that was Drew Carey way back when.
It was Sounds Dangerous.
And it was even before that, wasn't it? The commercial that they were filming in there, the sound effects commercial that they made in that studio, was it there? Or maybe that might have been somewhere else in the studios.
That whole building, which is now the Frozen sing-along, and that was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and before that it was the Star Theater and the. Studios is completely different. 5 years ago, did we still have a hat inside the studios 5 years ago? I think we did.
Yes.
Ooh, I think so. Wow.
How about that?
I don't miss the hat.
I don't either.
Yeah, I do. I think that was a great icon. Yes and no, because let's see what's going to happen to the Chinese theater, how that ride's going to be in the attraction. And because we lost the Earful Tower and the hat within maybe a year of each other, and they were the only two icons we saw for the longest time.
Right. I mean, Hollywood doesn't really have a official icon right now.
The theater. No. That's all I can come up with is the Chinese theater.
You get Tower of Terror on some merchandise, but
that's mainly what you get is Tower of Terror.
I think once Galaxy's Edge opens, you got an icon right there. I hate to say it, but I think that's going to be on everything.
We'll see. They have to still keep it kind of general over everything.
Do they? Dollars are going to vote. I know I'll be back there the whole time, but yeah, time will tell.
True.
I think they should make Baseline Tap House the icon.
With a pretzel and a beer.
No. Turn that camera around. Muppet Vision is by far the icon of Hollywood Studios, period.
Yeah, ooh, I could always see a Muppet in the
fountain in front of Muppet Vision would be a perfect icon. There we go.
Oh, you know what the perfect icon is? Mickey on top of the ball at the entrance of the park. Pointing south.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pointing southwest. The plaza.
What is that? That is the crossroads of the world.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
I love the Vinylmations. I didn't like that they were like the large ones that were mystery because I wanted to know specifically what I was getting.
Yeah.
But I love the juniors. I actually have a shadow box full of them. Well, halfway full of them because, you know, they're gone now. But I like the Vinylmations. I started those when I did the college program in 2010.
That's probably when they were at the peak.
Yeah, and
well, because you had the one store in downtown Disney, which is now Disney Springs. That's another thing that's changed in the last 5 years. Oh, you know
that changed. My gosh, it's huge compared to what it was.
And,
and the amount of restaurants is just amazing.
The whole thing's amazing. Did you see the pictures from the other day? Rachel was there and got to meet Chef Morimoto and take a picture with him.
Right, yep.
That's cool.
That was really cool. Nice.
She's like, I was stalking him the whole night. I said, I'm sure Disney security was watching you the whole time.
Exactly.
And I know she's probably, right now, she's probably on a treadmill listening to this. So
shout out
to Rachel.
Don't fall, Rachel.
You know, I kind of think like 5 years ago, they were just kind of finishing up the West Side, like, you know, finishing up those new stores they added and all the other stuff when they decided
and things like that. Right.
Yeah. And then they decided to kind of do the overhaul of the Disney Springs in the last couple of years.
It was going to be Hyperion for a while there, right? Wasn't it Hyperion Wharf originally? We heard all about it, then they canceled it. Yeah.
It's amazing how many changes they had in that little amount of time.
Even today, man, when you hear a rumor or even when Disney announces something like, hey, we're building this big theater on Main Street, it might not happen.
I don't know. I'm going to go hit the bar, guys. You need anything?
No.
Absolutely.
Okay, what do you want?
Buffalo Trace Rocks.
Okay.
They know what I want.
Cool.
Tell me what the Sam special.
I tell you what, Morgan, while I'm gone, tell us about the first time you came on the show.
All right. Well, I think the first time I came on the show, I'm the newbie of the group. I think it was not even a year ago because I've been here for writing since last summer. It was a Wheel of Attraction show, and unfortunately, I don't remember the name of it. But I've already met everybody and got to meet everybody face-to-face at last year's meetup and got to finally record a show and do Wheel of Attractions, which was just kind of cool. And of course, I think I remember the ones that we picked were ones that I hadn't either ever been on, because I think we talked about Seven Dwarfs, which at that time I'd never been on. And we talked about the steeple in Norway, which I hadn't been in since I was younger. And I was like, well, dang it, you know, they're going to think I don't know anything.
I was about to say, thanks for contributing so much on your first show.
I know. I'm like, they're never going to ask me to record again. I'm just strictly going to be writing, and that's it. But, hey, luckily you guys kept me around, and I'm appreciative of that.
Let me tell you, the first show I was on was show number one, and I go back and listen to it every now and then just to laugh.
Hey guys, I'm back. Did I just hear Jimmy laughing at himself? Was that the last thing?
Yeah, Jimmy said he likes to listen to show one occasionally. Ed, you in for that?
No, I don't listen to show one.
And this is Jimmy. Thank you for joining us. This is our first episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast. The way we came up with the idea of this podcast was really organically through our group. on Facebook, which is the Disney Nerds group. We started the group about 2 months ago, and within 2 months, it picked up over 500 members. So really, really good discussions going on over there. And we want you guys to use that to ask questions and have conversations. And we'll try and cover a lot of those on the show.
We're going to go around the circle and introduce ourselves and basically talk about what makes us such big Disney fanatics. Basically, Disney nerds.
And that's why I don't listen to show number one.
Oh, jeez.
It all had to start somewhere.
It took us a little while to get going. Although I tell you what, we did take some of the mannerisms from the We're Going to Walt Disney World podcast, the one I did with the kids beforehand that Jimmy kind of listened to and found me on and wanted to do some more. And then once we kind of got into our show, I think we started going pretty much in our own direction too. So it was kind of cool. But everything starts out slow like that. It's funny.
It's been a fun road. You know what was really like a big deal for us is, you know, now that this is the 5-year show. So we started in September and we turned right around and did like a meetup in November. Or was that not till a year later?
No, I think that was pretty quick.
Yeah, it was a quick turnaround. We did that meetup, and I think me and you were really shocked at how many people showed up. Well, first of all, I think you were shocked. Every year it's the same story with Ed.
Well, true. I can't go. There's no way I can go again. I've already been there once.
That's it. No, I can't. Can't make it this year. So him and Quinn are coming this year. This will be the 5th year he's made it. He's made it every year. But we always start, when we start planning it, he's like, yeah, I'm just not going to be able to make it. There's no way I'm going to be able to make it this year. And it's always happened. But that first year started the same way. He was for certain he wasn't going to be able to make it. But he made it. And I think we were kind of shocked at how many people showed up to our meetup.
Yeah, it was a nice surprise. We had a really fun time with that. And that was our first Sample-thon, wasn't it?
Wasn't really a Sample-thon.
That was the scavenger hunt.
The first scavenger hunt, and remember we did that that little meetup at the in Mexico, right on the water.
Oh, that was this. I think that was going to be the second year. And didn't we meet up on the water Friday night and it just kind of rained? But that was the first year they had that covering, that the new restaurant that was on the water on the lake.
That was the second year when Sam had the rainbow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. We'll have to go
rainbow
back and check
hat,
that
which
out.
Is hanging right here behind me, by the way.
The rainbow.
And that's when we used we live streamed the Illuminations when it was difficult and a pain in the butt to do it, and I was lugging my laptop around, and we had that webcam, and oh, that was a pain.
Facebook was watching that, and they're like, "Hey, we could do that better."
Laptop, because that was the only.
Did it though? We pulled it off.
Yeah. Yes. So to tell you how technology has changed, now you can live stream with a portable 360-degree camera.
Sure.
Back
or your
then
phone.
We had a webcam and a laptop that we had to hook up.
We could do
a
phenomenal video with our phones now. Our iPhones are awesome as far as doing live video right to Facebook and then, yeah.
That's crazy. I couldn't imagine having to – I mean, granted, I carry a lot of camera equipment, but the laptop, the webcam – I would have paid good money to watch you guys do that first live stream.
And we're all
somewhere.
And we're all joggling for positions underneath that awning and the tables there on the water because it was raining and there was
a lot
of people hanging out.
Oh, we got a great spot because it was raining. We moved right in. Then everybody, when it stopped, everybody came in. Yep. It still happened. It was cool.
And we just had to keep people like away from the computer, from touching the buttons. And it was an interesting time. Fun, fun, fun.
It was fun. And then that was our first.
Jimmy, get your drink the hell away from my laptop. I remember that.
That was just waiting to happen.
And then the first scavenger hunt is how we met Charlotte.
Right.
I do remember that. Yep.
I mean, I think we kind of chatted with her before, but her and her friends, her run friends, showed up for the first scavenger hunt.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know Charlotte couldn't be with us tonight, and I do remember her first show. She came on for an interview. She was telling us all about Fort Wilderness. She had frequented a number of different times, campgrounds and tents and campers and stuff like that. And she was telling us all about that. So it was pretty cool. And she stuck around.
For some reason, we have people on and we can't get rid of them.
That happens. Not a problem. I'm happy with that. That works for me.
Should I take offense to that?
Yes.
No. We all should, except for those two there.
I'm kidding. I think we all, I think me and Ed knew kind of like when we invited Sam on, because we were kind of looking for somebody else. So Sam's first show was like an interview, I think, for me and Ed. we're going to have him on if we like him.
I was going to ask who was interviewing who.
We were winging it for sure.
It was fun. Yeah, I'll tell you what's funny about that. I remember the first thing we talked about was the new parking lot expansion over at Magic Kingdom. When they were adding the extra loop for the buses to park over there, and the big buses were coming in. So it's been 5 years we've had those big buses.
Oh, wow.
But I remember one of the comments I made was, yeah, you're parked closer to the Contemporary than you're parked to Magic Kingdom. And I remember Ed thought that was hilarious because it's true. The Contemporary is right there when you get off your bus if you're in one of them back.
It is very true. And you know what? It was so funny because where were we last? Was it Caribbean? Where we stayed in a medium, so it should be kind of a good bus stop. They were the furthest bus stop away at the Magic Kingdom. You literally were basically waving at the guy, the guard over at the Contemporary parking lot. He was right there. But yeah, it's what it is. What it is. It's not as bad as Epcot bus stops. They haven't fixed that in 5 years, but hopefully they'll do that soon.
God, that's. I probably use the. What's funny is I probably go to Epcot more than I go to any other park, and I use their buses the least because they suck so bad. And typically, I want to eventually end up in World Showcase. So I'll grab an Uber to the boardwalk and walk to work. Absolutely.
There's that word again. Although, I think Disney World, we're not going to be saying Uber as much as we're going to say minivan.
Minivan, yeah, now that you can go anywhere with those things.
I think the Disney technology is not going to let you contact Uber while you're in the parks.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to block them. I think they're going to try and compete eventually.
Oh, sure.
They've already done that. They've already done that a little bit by changing the flat rate from 25 to 15 and then doing it by mileage.
Mm-hmm. Which is what they should have done.
I am interested how that works out because we talked before, Jimmy. It's three times as expensive than jumping in an Uber to get a minivan. But now that they're reducing their base price and going to mileage, maybe it's twice instead of three times. I don't know.
If you've got five people.
Yeah, that's different. Yep.
Then you go minivan because it's going to it would take an Uber XL, which are typically almost that much.
Right. And but also one nice thing though is if you've got a party of larger than five and you ask for a minivan, they bring two. Last time I checked, they're still. I mean, we don't know how it's going to be with this new pricing system, but they were still only going to charge you for one car if your party was bigger than five.
Really?
Which is awesome. They're doing that for luggage too. If you're going to the airport now, whatever their flat fee is, they'll give you a second car for your luggage, no extra cost.
That's very cool and very interesting.
Good. Sure. Speaking of getting around places, I can remember once renting a bicycle at the boardwalk with Jimmy and his family. That was one hell of an experience.
Not a bicycle, a Surrey.
A Surrey bike.
Big difference.
There was some karaoke that happened too, and video that shall not be used, but I have if I ever need it.
That's
terrible. But yeah,
and that brings
I'm willing to bribe you, Sam.
You don't want to see it. I was up there singing, and I don't know. I happened to request the same song as, like, these other, like, drunken older ladies.
So, hold on a second. It's what? It's around midnight. We had spent the evening in Epcot. We made our way to the boardwalk. We made our way to a couple of bars. Then we got over to Swan and Dolphin, and we were in the karaoke bar in the Swan. So, there was a lot going on leading up to this. It wasn't like...
I don't even know what year that was, but I mean, it was Caitlin and Kim with me. Wyatt was not there. And Caitlin's a big sushi fan, and Sam's always got to be the good guy. So Sam's like buying her sushi and stuff to make her happy, and we're having drinks and stuff. So, you know, I had a few drinks. So I'm like, I'll go sing. So I went and put my song in, and apparently, some of these other older ladies from Texas had requested the same song, so they called us all up and had us do it together.
It's getting good. Getting good.
I've already got the mental image.
Until we got to the point where one of them, like, I feel like I probably should like call like the police. Like I was sexually abused on stage at the SWAT at Kimono's. This lady's like rubbing all over me.
Then we got you an Uber. No, we didn't, because we had to get you a cab because Ubers weren't there.
So my wife almost. The only thing that stopped my wife from going up on stage and killing this lady was my daughter. My daughter thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
It was.
Look, I'm pretty easygoing. I'm pretty touchy-feely, and I have a very good sense of humor. But it was to the point that it made me like uncomfortable. Let's just say that. And I was drunk, so I had a few drinks in me, so
it was hilarious.
To make me feel uncomfortable at that point, she wouldn't let up.
I don't know.
I just have those looks, though. I mean, it's hard for women to pass that up.
Great memories of the time, huh?
It was fun.
Which actually,
I'm leaving that comment alone.
It makes for a fun story. So look, hey, every Disney trip is different. That's one memory that definitely stands out. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, no doubt. Which actually brings a memory up a little bit less graphic, but our tour over at the boardwalk.
It wasn't that bad. It was hilarious.
Our tour at the boardwalk was really fun, which they don't do anymore, which was pretty cool in that regard. And we had a really fun time. And who would think a tour of the boardwalk would be so cool?
Not only do they not do it anymore, they changed like half the things that were part of that tour. The whole end of it and the Miss America pageant and that ice cream shop, which is now, it's completely gone. It's the Abracadabra now.
There is another ice cream. So, I mean, they did put an ice cream place back in, just different.
I want to give Disney a huge shout out, or at least the boardwalk a huge shout out. For that tour, because that's not something they put together. That's just something a cast member who worked there wanted to do, and they just supported him and said, okay.
Well, it was the guy that came from the Animal Kingdom, because they had done the tour there, and he actually brought it over and basically set it up, so they were doing it at the boardwalk also.
And right, so he learned, he had to go in and figure out and do the research and find out all the stuff that he could tell you about the boardwalk, and he put it all together. But, I mean, how many of us could do that at our jobs? Hey, boss, I want to do this free tour, and I want to invite people over, and,
Yeah.
That depends on where you work.
And walk them around while I'm on the clock, and you're going to pay me to do this while I'm doing it, okay? And I'm.
By the way, you're also paying me.
Yeah, right.
And we're going to give them free ice cream, too, to boot.
And a scoop of ice cream at the end. So this is show number 54. We did this back in October of 2014, and if you have never done the tour of the boardwalk, go and listen to that show. We took the audio with us the entire way. We walk around the boardwalk. You get the story of the swimming pool, why ESPN looks the way it looks. It's awesome. It's great.
Yeah, very cool.
That's just going to make me want to do it in real life, which we can't do it anymore.
You can close your eyes and relive that, starting around, in the Bellevue Lounge, which is a great start.
Definitely listen to it as you're walking around, sure.
When did that show come out, Sam?
That was October of 2014, show number 54. So that was early on.
And you brought the tour with you because it didn't exist, right?
Yeah, we didn't have a tour. And that was one of the things after doing it over there for so long. I said, gosh, every resort can tell a story. We all have a history. And just felt like after I'd been here for about 6 months, said, we have a story here that's fantastic. But everyone walks by every day and they don't see it. And so what we wanted to do is try to bring that experience here. So we created that tour a couple years ago now, and have been able to get Jim and Norv and a couple folks ready to be able to give this to y'all. And I just think it's a unique opportunity to see those things that you see every single day that you've walked by, now to know a little bit more about. Yep. And these guys are a wealth of knowledge and information. And they're so wonderful. We had a shell of kind of what we did. And since then, they've added on pieces and parts and more and more and all kinds of stuff that I didn't know about. And that's the beauty of it, is every time somebody goes on it, they share a little bit back with us and a little bit more for us to look at, and there's things that we can then bring back to it. And so, and I laugh. I think when it was originally structured, it was about a 35-minute tour, Right now, we're probably about right at an hour, 45 minutes to an hour, depending on how things go. And so it's up to you guys how that experience and what you want to do. But and we can make it longer.
If you're really into this. And so, I think 3 hours is my max.
Thank you all for coming out today.
Thank you, Joe.
We enjoyed it. And appreciate it. Really good time. And just let us know if you have any questions.
Hey, right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Have fun.
Thank you, Joe.
We're all going to go. Let's stand up and get back here. Yvette Norb, I'm Jim, and we'll be your tour guides today on our Ballyhoo tour.
Ballyhoo.
Ballyhoo. Any idea what Ballyhoo is?
Sounds like a rallying cry.
Well, if you looked in the dictionary, it would say something like an excited commotion, an attention-getting demonstration. I like to give an example of, come on over, folks, we have a free show starting right here, right now. Come on, see what we're going to do. This is the one your friends are talking about. This is the one you've read about. It's starting right here, right now, and it's all free. 1920s, Atlantic City. Outside most of the establishments on the boardwalk, you would have had a bar trying to attract people out of the crowd to come to their establishment. They threw the word free around a lot. Getting inside the establishment wasn't always free. The barkers spiel was free, but the rest of it had a fee. But that's Ballyhoo. We're going to have a tour today. It's going to be 45 minutes to an hour, roughly. We're going to start here, go through the boardwalk, go out to our pool, and then go out onto the boardwalk.
Yep, Bob just walked back in the room. Cool. He'll be on in about another 20 minutes, I bet. Okay.
I love the fact that he walks around and remembers everybody's name.
Well, sure. That's the best part of the show. It's that's the best part does. That he remembers us from the last time we were here. That's the amazing thing.
Yeah, he will. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Jimmy's kind of hard to forget running around with his the pins and buttons and all that kind of stuff. So
we definitely have a button on his board behind that sits right behind his little bulletin board.
You can see it right back there.
Yeah, very cool. That was
but
for
you
a couple
know
years
what?
Ago.
One thing is cool though is he's not the only cast member that remembers people.
True.
That's one thing I think. I mean, even so, when me and Jimmy were there for Labor Day weekend, we went to Splitsville so Jimmy could watch the game. The bartender even remembered Jimmy.
Yes, she did. I can't remember her name, but she did. From the outside bar at Splitsville, which me and Ed met there last year.
Yeah. Yes.
When you flew in.
Yep.
But
you came meet me and Kim, and we met at the bar at Splitsville, and then we walked around and did. Or we met around there, and then we walked around, and we went to did the bar at the Boathouse. We went to Jock Lindsay's. We went to
covered a lot.
We covered quite a few bars, but we did go to the outside. The outside bar at Splitsville is really a hidden treasure, especially if you want to go watch like some type of athletic.
Is that the one upstairs, Jimmy?
No, this is downstairs.
Downstairs like, on
right
the corner.
Downstairs. Yeah, okay.
Walk right up to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's the first
and
thing
there,
you hit.
And there is live music, so if you're not paying attention to the game like Jimmy was, or yeah. I was kind of, there was live music that right. I was paying attention to while I was eating my sushi.
That's right. And you can order anything off the menu right there at the outside bar, and they get some tables and stuff.
Oh,
we
excellent.
Sat at the bar this last trip, but it's cool. It's a cool place.
Now, I tell you what, one of my biggest memories from Splitsville, and one of our listeners shares this memory, and we're going to hear from them in a second, was the show Jimmy and Lisa did live. We do our live video every Tuesday night, our Be Live on Facebook at 9 o'clock, and they were both at Splitsville one night for that show. Set up at the table, drinks, food, love and life. However, with anything live, you have a couple mishaps, and they did.
Yeah, Lisa spilled a drink within the first 5 minutes. She knocked it just clean over.
And I think that is the number one funniest live show that the two of you guys did.
No doubt.
In the whole year. I mean, even because, I mean, a month or so ago, I think Lisa or one of you were even asking on the live show, what is everybody's favorite episode? And just everybody said the Splitsville episode.
It was funny. I mean, we were having drinks and stuff, and we were together. So I think that's another thing. I think part of it was, you know, me and Lisa have a pretty good dynamic, and so does Morgan, too, when she comes on. on the live show, because we've been doing it for a year now. And so, and I mean, anybody that's been around me and Lisa, we have a pretty good dynamic already because we give each other a hard time. but that night we just happened to be together. And look, we wasn't even like, she spilled a drink. She that was her first drink. Like, we got that sure on the way to Splitsville.
Wink, wink.
And a little cart that had like vodka lemonade and vodka tea. And I'm like, you should mix those and get a lemon and tea. And she did. So we called it a drunken Arnold.
How Palmer. Was that? Oh, we don't know.
It was, it, we no, don't she know. Drank a lot of it.
Oh, okay, good. Good, good,
but
good.
Then we sat down, we ordered some nachos, they brought us nachos, they gave us our own little section. The section was closed off, and they sat us in there because we told them what we were going to be doing.
Yeah, they treated you right.
Oh, they treated us right, and they had a waiter come check on us the whole night. Yeah, she knocked over a drink as soon as we got, as soon as we got live, she knocked over a drink.
Yeah, it happens.
Right up. And then, but by the end of the night, you know, I had topped up and went and run to the restroom, and where the restroom was located was kind of to Lisa's back. So, and when you're watching, like Lisa had, we were watching the live stream, but there's a delay on when you're watching it. So I was standing behind her, giving her bunny ears and stuff like that. she didn't see it till I walked back around and
said it.
But everybody else saw it, so they loved it.
Very cool. Very fun.
So, you know, talking about that, we posted about our 5-year anniversary and the Facebook group and on the page, and you know, some of the people from the live stream commented on that. So our friend Maria, who shows up every week and brought me a homemade bottle of limoncello to one of our meetups that I brought home and drank, and it was delicious. Nice. Says, congratulations on 5 years. Have been going to Disney for 30 plus years. And love that I learned something new from you all every week.
Right. Maria, try grapefruitcello next time.
Grapefruitcello.
That was awesome.
Wow.
Go ahead.
I love that comment, by the way. Love that comment. And thank you so much, because if that's really what it's about, having fun. And if we can teach you something, that's awesome. We love it. Thank you.
So true.
So and Maria is actually somebody that actually sends me pictures for the Instagram, which is a whole other story. So extra shout out to Maria.
Maria's awesome. I've met her 3 times. Once I was down with the family, and she messaged me because she saw I was down, and we met up. She just came meet up just to say hello. She went to Epcot just to come tell us hello. She's originally from up by Lisa around Boston, but lives in Florida now. Then she came to our meetup at Tambu Lounge. Sam, you were there.
Yep.
And then we ran into her on my last trip over Labor Day. We stopped by and talked to her for a little, her and her husband. The first time I got to meet her husband at the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
Cool.
Also, Paul Brodus said, you made a lot of people happy over that time. And you know, the announcement was that we've been around for 5 years. So thanks, Paul. We appreciate that. And that's, I mean, that's what it's all about, right?
Sure.
Making people happy.
Yep.
Marie Matisse says, congratulations on 5 years. Christina Palomino says, great job, guys. Congrats. Terry Lee, who I cannot say enough nice things about.
Terry
Lee is awesome. Terry Lee is who in the Disney Nerds group every day, well, once a month, collects all the people's in the group's birthdays and anniversaries, and then every day goes post them a happy birthday post or a happy anniversary post with their favorite characters.
Hardest working woman on her page.
Happy unbirthday, Terry.
Yes. She's a,
yes.
I cannot say, me and Lisa were live Tuesday night, and she popped on, and I gave her mad props because she is.
Dude, salute to Terry. Glasses up.
Absolutely.
Glasses up.
Nice.
Agreed.
Fred Kiefer, favorite moment number one, Splitsville. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about that. And number two, Beverly.
Beverly
challenge.
We've had a lot of experiences Beverly over the last 5 years, haven't we?
We've got an ongoing Beverly challenge. I started it. I think I originally did 15. Then Lisa beat me and did like 16 or 17. And our current Beverly Challenge belt holder is Morgan, who did 20.
Yes. Oh, and that actually just popped up on my memories on my Facebook page this past weekend. So I have actually held the record for a year. Nice. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
You can have it.
Yeah, seriously. Enjoy.
One of the challenges working on it. Everybody's like, you know what?
No, that's all good. You're good. I'm going to go over here and get myself a golden.
I'm going to do the tequila challenge over here. So you have that.
Well, Jimmy was explaining on the live show how, you know, when we were down there, Wyatt was very confident in wanting to beat my record. He made it to 6.
Yeah, he was terrible. And we got it on video. I'm at the show.
Who did that?
My son.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he knew what he was getting.
At least he made 6. Most would have stopped at 2.
I would not make the 6. I'd make it to a half of 1 and be, that's it.
You know, he's 17. When you're 17, you got all that bravado and you think you can do everything. And so,
yeah.
We got a big meme from Lisa that said, congratulations. So we're glad to get that from Lisa.
What's up with that caricature, by the way?
Which one?
That's good. I like it. It's good.
You like it? Do you like you?
It's good.
We had
a guy with a camera on his neck all the time.
Thomas Estrada, who's
been on the show, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Last year we had Thomas Estrada on the show, and he, out of niceness, he made these caricatures of us, which was pretty cool.
By the way, he did the art for this year's Flower and Garden, right? Or Food and Wine, right, Jimmy?
No, that's Kevin John.
Oh, darn it. I was close.
Kevin John does more. Kevin John.
Give me another drink.
Yeah, seriously.
Kevin John's a signature artist, which means he's like contracted by Disney, and he focuses more on like attraction art and stuff like that they sell in the parks.
So what year did we meet him?
Year he was on, or this maybe last year. No, it's not. It's maybe a year ago.
Okay.
Thomas Estrada is a feature animation artist with Disney and other people too. I mean, they do it by contract. So he worked on like The Emperor's New Groove.
That's cool.
But he also did like for DreamWorks, did The Road to El Dorado, stuff like that. He did a lot. He also did a lot of stuff for Disney Infinity, mm-hmm. the video game.
That's right. Yep. We've had a lot of awesome interviews. There have been so many people over these past 5 years that we've been able to talk to, learn so much from, and basically just enjoy having them on the show.
Yep. Now, that's a good question for you guys, since you know you guys are the ones that have been here basically since day one. Who was your favorite, you know, quote unquote celebrity, artist, you know, whoever that y'all have interviewed in this last 5 years?
He's sitting right over there. Yeehaw Bob.
Yeah, no doubt. That was a good one. Yeehaw
Bob, a good one. That was show number 37.
Wow, that fucker. Oh, jeez.
To me, Jerry Reese, it was a great interview that we had done in the past. He had just so many credits I didn't know about and so many attractions that he worked on and a couple of the animated features and stuff. That was a pretty cool one.
He directed Walter Cronkite, for crying out loud.
I know.
And Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
At the same time.
Yeah.
He also did a wonderful, if you go back, and I don't have that episode in front of me, but if you go back and listen to that episode, he does a great Robin Williams impersonation.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I'm going to go listen.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, cool. And then I went to the next one and said, here's another area where you can play, and here's another area where you can play. And as I was going through, he's like, oh, well, I don't want to change everything. You know, there's some good writing here. So he was just very respectful and accommodating. So he wanted to meet halfway. And there was one of the biggest laughs, everybody, I'm a corporate symbol, where he turns into Mickey. Sure. That actually was a line, an idea and a line that was storyboarded by Steve Moore. And he was on my storyboard team. And it just busted me up. It busted all of us up. When I was first giving Robin the show and tell of the storyboards, he did a big belly laugh. And his agent and manager and Eisner and Katzberg, the whole parade that was standing behind us while I was showing him the boards, they really turned and paid attention. It's like, what made Robin laugh? And it was that joke. And I think that's probably the only reason it got left in. Because I kept waiting for Katzenberg to go, all right, Jared, pull that out. We're not going to make fun of the studio. But they left it in. So he did a combination of really playing with things, but shaping them so he could set Walter up for his next lines, and then occasionally sprinkling in things where he just went, you know, I'll improv around it, but this is good. Boom, he would put it in. And then something else that really startled me in a good way is I had no idea how adept he was at molding his own improvisation. So, you know, he'd want to discuss beforehand, like, you know, what are some of the things I'd be referring to? What kind of films were going on then? And so we would just sit there and brainstorm. It could be this one, that one, that one, that one. Okay, okay, good. So he would just want to sort of load his mental Cuisinart, you know, before he spun it up. And then something would come out, and I could call cut at the end and say, that was great, but, you know, the thing you hit in the middle, that was so funny. Can you move that to the end so it's the button? And he'd go, okay, cool, let's go again, you know, and he'd just record, and boom, he'd move it to the end. And I just was astounded. It sounded just as fresh, but he reshaped it so it just sounded like the first time he ever said it, and he would move things.
It gave us some Easter eggs that were in that show, too. We're talking about the original film back in the animation courtyard.
And what's interesting is that some of the Easter eggs he talked about, he told us about the Easter egg in Aladdin.
Yep.
That points to that film that he did. It was a Return. Finding Neverland, Return to Neverland.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
And, so, yeah. But I just saw Aladdin last night on stage. And, you know, the genie puts on, and that's what it made me think of, because the genie comes out with the Hawaiian shirt on, like he's going traveling.
Looks just like that caricature we were talking about. What the heck?
That's you.
It's full circle.
Oh, you need the Goofy hat.
I got that rainbow colored hat right here.
Okay, send an email to Thomas Estrada to get Sam a Goofy hat.
Very cool.
So I can imagine that for sure. And so my favorite, I think, would be a tie. Between Jeffrey Sherman.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yep.
And Stacey Aswad.
I can't go on Small World the same way I ever did after hearing the Sherman show.
Yeah, that was amazing, huh? I think he was the only person that we've interviewed that, like, got choked up and, you know.
He talked to Uncle Walt. I mean, come on.
Yep.
He talks about going into the stage where they were going to do the Chimney Sweep song for Mary Poppins and seeing it and Walt talking to him.
Backstage.
Yeah, I got to go back and listen to that one.
Yep. Yeah. And Stacey was such a real person that it was crazy good. I mean, you just can't imagine. She's so nice and like that, like she was on the show she's on.
She's not, I would say she's, you know, if you look at the Disney must-dos in the room, I would say, you know, she's a little more over the top, but when you talk to her, that's her. I mean, it's her personality.
Yep.
She's not acting. That's not a show. I mean, they hired her because that's who she is.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Check out what I have in my pocket here, Ed. Look at this. This is a map from 5 years ago of studios. Not necessarily because it's studios, but I do have it with me.
What the hell? You forgot to clean out your suitcase one time? You just happen to have it?
Well, you know, I have a couple of maps just in case. But look, it's the old style map before they used the new ones that are, you know, correct with north, south, east, and west. That's how long it's been.
Yeah. Wow.
Remember these things?
It's amazing. There's so many rides that have come and gone. It's just amazing.
Do you think there's ever a point in time that Sam does not have a map to Hollywood Studios?
Well, no. It's Hollywood Studios, but then if you look around, I got the other parks too, right? So it's a matter of the style of the map, and it's not the My Disney Experience style. It's where Epcot's upside down when you look at Epcot, right?
Mm-hmm. I know, but I feel like I could run into you like in a convenience store in Pittsburgh and say, hey, man, you wouldn't happen to have a map of Hollywood Studios, would you?
What year
do you want?
But that's the real question is, it's always Hollywood Studios, though.
A lot of times it is. Or an Epcot map. And Epcot hasn't changed as much.
It's MGM.
Not yet.
It will. If you haven't listened to last week, go back and listen to that. But look at the style of some of these maps. It's so cool. I remember when they gave us those new maps and Epcot was upside down and Hollywood Studios looked weird. And I was like, what are they doing? But in the grand scheme of things, it does match the app. And you get the – and I understand. But it's kind of cool.
It's all about the app.
Yep.
Very cool. Okay, guys, well, I tell you what, Bob, it looks like he's getting ready to start, so we are going to go for now. Me. it's been
Bob, not you, Jimmy. Oh, Bob's going
yeah.
on.
Yeah, Jimmy, go get yourself another drink.
Yeah.
I tell you what, guys, before we go, I just wanted to say these last 5 years have been an incredible time. It has really kind of helped out this really nerdy Disney hobby of mine, like I couldn't tell you. Just wanted to thank you guys for all the help you give us. Everybody that helps us out with our Facebook pages, everybody that helps us out with our blog, it's just amazing all the help we get. And everybody is so single-minded. Disney, Disney, Disney. It's great.
That is the truth.
So thank you all, guys. Salute.
Salute. And, of course, thank you, Ed, for pulling us all together. And, Jimmy, thanks for starting the whole thing.
It was a collaborative effort, and it was a lot of fun, me and Ed. It's been fun. It's been. I can tell you, not just because of the podcast, but the past 5 years have been probably the best 5 years of my life, and a lot of that has to do with the connections and people I've got to meet through the podcast and with Disney, and you know, so it's been great, and I look forward to it every year. Me and Lisa had a conversation Tuesday night after we finished up the live show. I told her, you know, sometimes I'm leaving work at 6:30 in the evening and I've been there all day and I think to myself, man, I got to go home. I got to set up the green screen. I got to do live shit tonight. I'm kind of, you know, it's kind of a pain. And then, but every time after we do the live stream, I think to myself, man, that was fun. I'm glad I did that because
right? Yep.
That's my stress relief and that's my getaway. So I appreciate you guys. I appreciate all that everybody does. And we have a wonderful group. And I think it's amazing that we all get along so well. I know sometimes, you know, we have creative differences and stuff like that. But I don't think there's a closer group of podcasters or bloggers or just our group. When we're together down in Walt Disney World, we always... I'm going to steal Bob's line and say nobody has more fun than us.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's true.
Guys, reach out. You heard so many different stories about how people have reached out to the show and became part of it. We're always looking for people to talk to, discuss your experiences online, on the show, on live, any way you want to do it. It's awesome. And you
on
know
the
what?
Show, on live, want to be a blogger, all that good stuff.
It is. It's great. It's just a great way to kind of express your Disneyism to people that get it. Which is the best part about it.
I just want to say, you know, before we go back to our drinks and before, you know, Bob goes on, that I appreciate the three of you guys. I'm going to call you the three wise men because you guys kind of started everything.
No names, please.
I think three wise men is a good one.
That's good, but I don't want any other. That's good. Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
I'm going to be nice. Come on.
Thank you.
But, you know, I think I can speak for everyone as far as all of our listeners and everything that we're very appreciative that you guys started this and helped expand the Disney nerdism that lives inside of all of us. And personally, I'm very grateful that you guys allowed me to be a part of the team and help my little dream come true of, you know, meeting more nerds that, you know, love this thing that we call Disney.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Very cool. Okay, guys, so that is it for show number 255. Bob's getting ready to start singing. And for all the Disney nerds, this is Ed. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
Kong galoosh.
So long, everybody.
Cousins that are coming in. Jump in with us. Let's go. You got a friend in me. See you.